I'd like to welcome everyone this morning. It is a delight to look into the faces of people who believe in a God, people who are God pursuers. It's great to be in that kind of people. You know, all week long we mingle with different kinds of people, and for some of us we mingle with people who have little fear, sometimes no fear of God, no honor of God. So to come together like this is a refreshing time, should be a refreshing time for all of us who love God, who pursue His heart, and who want to be equipped as good stewards of our lives. There's a fundamental truth about human characteristics that I'd like to talk about just briefly, and that is that we are constantly being influenced by people around us, or by events around us, and also that we are being influencers. We're being influenced and we are influencing constantly. That's just a fundamental, basic human truth about who we are. So I asked this morning, whose image do you bear? Who's influencing your life? What is influencing your life? Probably for most of us, there's one or two people that, or events that have really, or is really shaping who we are. One or two, in the broad spectrum of our influences, there's one or two key things, key people that have had or are having significant impact on our lives. So as you think about that, think about those factors and those people and what, how that has contributed to who you are and who you're becoming. Israel, we're studying about God's call to His people through the prophets. The prophets, we call them the minor prophets, Hosea and Joel, Obadiah. Their call was to call the people back to the influence of God in their life. They had walked away from it and neglected it, forgotten it. But they're calling, come back, remember. Remember the profound love and calling on your life that God has for you. So in our studies, in our Sunday school time right now, Israel bears little resemblance to the influence of God of hundreds of years earlier. But they're being called back to that. So when we think about influence, I'd like to tell you a story. In the late 1800s in England, a British nobleman was traveling the country roads of Lancashire, England, and he became mired in the mud. His carriage became mired in the mud, and so couldn't get out. Presently, a young farmhand came along with a team of horses and said, I'll pull you out. So very quickly, he had this nobleman pulled out of the mud, and as the nobleman was thanking him, he said, thank you very much. How can I repay you? What can I give you? The young man said, oh, this is just what we do here. We're just good country folk, and that's what country folk do. We help each other. And the nobleman was impressed. He said, are you sure? I can't give you anything. He said, no, sir. It's the least I could do. And so the man asked him, he said, well, son, he said, what do you want to do when you become a man? What's your goal? What's your vision? He said, well, sir, he said, I'd really like to become a doctor, but, you know, my family's very poor and there's no way that I could. I can't go to school, so, but I really like to, but I think I'll just have to be a farmer the rest of my life. The nobleman said, well, young man, he said, you want to be a doctor? I'm going to help you. I'll help you become a doctor. And he did. And for the next number of years, he invested in this young man money and time and and communication. He sent him to good schools, and the young man did become a doctor. And forward a number of years, about 60 years later, another British nobleman lay gravely ill, dying of a disease, at a time when England really needed his leadership. He was the Prime Minister of England. Winston Churchill lay dying, and England needed his help to rise over the threat and the invasion of Nazi Germany and his homeland. Winston Churchill was saved by a new wonder drug that was invented by Alexander Fleming, a brilliant young doctor in England who had developed penicillin. And Winston Churchill's life was saved, was spared. Alexander Fleming was the young boy that pulled the nobleman out of the mud. The nobleman stuck in the mud was Sir Randolph Churchill, father of Winston, Sir Winston Churchill. So now you know the rest of the story. You know, influence is profound. And I'd like to read a verse out of 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And you can take this, you can apply it several ways today, this being Father's Day, but you can apply it with influence in various dimensions, whether you're a woman or a man. This applies. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. In other words, there's a lot of folks who are willing and ready to tell us what to do, what not to do, what we should be doing, shouldn't be doing. But there's very few men, very few people who will walk with us, beside us for the long haul, willing to be there day after day, willing to be there through the good times and the bad times. Those are true fathers, literally and figuratively. So I hope that within this body, within this group of people, there will be those who rise up with this kind of a heart for the for the long haul, a heart to be there to nurture and to walk alongside for the long haul, whatever that investment may look up like. First of all, to our own children, and then to others that we're called to influence. So I call you, men, to the high standard, the high call of fatherhood, of intentional fatherhood. Let me go back to what I said earlier as I started. Whose image do we bear? Whose image do you bear? Who's the influencing factor in your life? So let's twist that just a little bit and say, who's bearing my stamp? Who's bearing my image? Or who's being influenced by me? Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for the wonderful influence of godliness in most of our lives. Lord, thank you for the heritage of faith. Thank you for that which was passed down by our fathers and mothers, our grandparents in many cases. And not just for the culture, Lord, but for the truths. I praise you for the truths. And I thank you for those that have walked with us, whether they're our human, physical fathers or our spiritual fathers or figurative fathers in our lives who have walked with us to make us become who we are. And I thank you for your father heart that is a perfect image of what a father should be. Today, as we rally around the principles of your word and the things that will help us walk better, to be more godly and to be more influential in the right ways, I pray that you would root these truths deep in our hearts. Bless each one who's called to participate and to share. And may we always be cognitive of that we're being influenced, and be careful what those influences are. And be cognitive that we are influencing, and be careful how we do that. In Jesus' name, amen.